Hello, everyone. This is your always tactful host, Pendy.
And this is Paul, also known as EastX Twitch.
This new show title seemed to be pretty popular with a poll we did amongst the four final names we came up with to vote on.
I guess, but I'm not sure you should have paid so many people off. Well, I preferred Dragon Quest anime and manga reviews, but what's an all-trades abbey anyway? A hangout for angel slimes and white priests?
I know you haven't played all the games yet, but in every Dragon Quest game that has job classes, it's where you go to make job class changes. It made its debut in 3, and it's been in 6, and 7, 9, and 10, and even made a fun cameo in 11S as a hilarious Tickington quest.
Wait, isn't All Trades Abbey the place where there's at least one old man that wants to class change into a bunny girl? That seems right up your alley.
Oh, you don't want any of that from me. You aren't ready for the kind of va, va, voom I turn into.
I'm not. It's more like no, zoom away from you.
Come on now. I'll even give you a preview with some patented Pendy Puff Puff. Ooh la la.
Oh, heck to the no. Instead, let's go ahead and welcome our audience to All Trades DQ Media Abbey, a Slime Time podcast spinoff where we review various Dragon Quest media, including manga and anime.
This is our first ever episode in this new format.
Previously, our show was called Tactfully Die, but sadly, Dragon Quest Tact, the global edition of the popular mobile game, will end its service at the end of this month, February.
That won't stop us from podcasting, though. We're currently reviewing episodes of the 2020 Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai anime. Let's trash it up.
That's right. Every week, we review at least 3 episodes from the newest Dai anime.
We'll also get into other related news we find in the world of Dai and the other titles that we end up reviewing.
If you're sure.
Maybe.
Let's start with episode 62, The Cave of Trials. In this episode, Queen Flora gathers a party of 4 to go down to the Cave of Trials for Leona to learn the Cogglimmer spell. Mom and Merla volunteer to go with the Queen and Leona. Flora reveals that the Cogglimmer spell will be amplified with the 5 pieces of Mysticite that the Disciples of Avon wear. Pop panics when he's unable to get his insignia of Avon to glow like the other members of his party. After freaking out for a while, he goes off to train. Dai goes off with Nova to study the Book of Avon in order to improve Dai's Avon's trash techniques. The party of 4 ladies descends into the Cave of Trials. They make some headway, but then the floor collapses and they fall farther into the cavern below.
More fantastic character growth for Pop and some classic Dragon Quest adventuring starts in this episode. I love this little arc of episodes that this adventure covers. Pop is having an awful time with his Mysticite, and it's interesting to see how he works through it. The Cave of Trials is just wonderful Dragon Quest adventuring all around. And what's the first enemy that they run into? Why, the slime, of course, just like in every Dragon Quest game. And I love that Flora just busts out that whip to everyone's surprise and easily dispatches the slimes, just like in the games, where whip will hit multiple enemies of the same type during battle. We get to see Mam take out a fun ghoul, and then of course we have some craziness with a treasure chest that turns out to be a mimic. Apparently the best way to take them out is a people's elbow, as Mam demonstrates, which I thought was hilarious. The adventure in the cave also becomes a fun character moment for Leona and shows why her character is just so gosh darn endearing. Getting called out by Mam and seeing the way she gets defensive about it right before the floor collapses was cute. Of course, not only are there treasure chests here, but pots with items in them as well, as you would find in other Dragon Quest games. It's hilarious that the treasure that they did pick up was only some lowly cipher sticks and 216 gold coins. Considering the low-level monsters the team has fought up until then, it does make sense. I also love the mention of classic Dragon Quest spells such as Evac and Safe Passage. There are a few rare locations in Dragon Quest games where Evac won't work, just as demonstrated here in the Cave of Trials. I love everything about this episode. The classic dungeon adventuring, the character moments, and the start of Pop's struggle to find himself and make his Mysticite glow are just fantastic. I love this episode a lot. It's great. It's great.
Well. It was interesting to see Dai arguing that Leona shouldn't go on the cave mission because of the danger. Amy correctly tells him that Leona has a right to fight for what she believes in. Of course, Dai is really worried about the possibility of Leona eventually facing Dark King Vern, who is an incredibly dangerous foe. The tension gets broken when Flora and Leona arrive in revealing robes, causing Pop to leer over them. Never change, Pop. The new mechanic of the insignias of Avon glowing in the color of the wearer's souls is interesting, but it's mainly an excuse for Pop to have a crisis of faith. He instantly and predictably freaks out about not being able to make his insignia glow. This leads to a few cool, dramatic moments in the next few episodes, but it's also contrived melodrama. Imagine if Pop talked to his friends about his worry instead of freaking out like an idiot. How different it would be. Getting back to the Cave of Trials mission, Queen Flora gives the party 10 hours to reach Kuglimmer, 10 hours to return, and then 10 hours to prepare for and reach Crocodine and Hyunkle. Don't the members of the party need to sleep at some point before heading out on the rescue mission?
Nah.
Maybe they're factoring a nap into the final 10 hours, but it still sounds like a really long time to stay awake and then still have to fight a huge important battle.
Agreed. Next is episode 63, The Sacred Inheritance. We continue with the Cave of Trials in this episode. All four of the female heroes survive the fall and decide to continue their journey to the Kuglimmer spell, despite being short on time. Leona plans to use the Kuglimmer spell to cut through the cave's evac barrier so that they can get out in time and make it to Hyunkle's and Crocodine's execution. Meanwhile, Dai and Nova continue to train. Dai comes up with a unique Avon Strash technique to use against King Vern. Hey, Vern! Later. Back in the Cave of Trials, the party of four discovers the Kuglimmer spell. Leona starts the ritual of inheritance to attain the spell while Mam and company hold off an invading army of monsters. Leona is quickly tested with harsh flames of spiritual power that will incinerate her and her soul if she is not worthy of the spell. Leona's strength of character shines through, though, so she successfully learns the spell. She instructs the other three women to hold hands. She then casts the spell, and they are able to evac out of the cave. Pop continues his own training struggles as he tries to get his insignia to glow to no avail. Lon Baruch arrives with Dai's sword and Hyunkle's repaired and in more improved weapons. We end with Dai unsheathing the new and improved Mighty Sword of Dai.
Yeah, well, it's impressive that Dai develops a new move in this episode. Basically, it's a projectile version of the Avon Strash. I'm not sure if they broke down the difference between that and the regular version in this episode or one of the adjacent ones. You remember?
Oh, they will. I don't want to give it away because it's going to be something different that he's not quite done before. So they'll show it. It's kind of, they're trying to keep it secret a little bit to wait until he kind of does it in a battle. So you'll see.
Oh, but I mean, they talked about the difference somewhat, and Nova had to read from the book since Dai can't read, and it was in one of these three episodes. I just didn't notice exactly which one it was.
Oh, right. Yeah, because they talk about, like, there's the one where you kind of charge with it, and there's one where you kind of use it as a projectile, those two that he's done before, and then he's going to kind of take in both, and then he's going to do something special with it.
Yeah, that. But anyway, good for you, Dai, making up new moves, but forgetting to give them their own unique name, at least so far. The most interesting part of the episode is the Cave of Trials adventure, though. Leona getting trapped in the ritual of inheritance while everyone else is trying to protect her is a pretty video gamey turn of events. I like that. I'm sure you'll agree, though, that the defense duties don't get divided very evenly between the three remaining party members. Curious how that worked out. Pop's freakout is tiresome, but it's still nice to see Matariv again. The show continues to hint that Matariv is dying, but it doesn't seem like Pop is aware of it. Everybody getting new weapons, as they're about to do at the end of the episode, should be helpful. Dai was looking awfully lonely without a legendary sword.
You know, this is a great ending to the Cave of Trials adventure. We get to see Mam clobber some Cyclops golems and Sylvapithecuses. I did find it funny that Flora didn't seem, you know, just like you, I did find it funny that Flora didn't seem to be doing much to help out Mam fighting those monsters, though. They finally show her lobbing a few fire-type spells, but not much else.
What happened to her whip? Oh,
sorry. Yeah, I know. What happened to her whip? She could have been whipping everything around, but she's just like kind of standing in front of Leona going, oh, a little bit of frizz here. Oh, I'll frizz you. And it's not much.
Not true.
Yeah, just poor Mam seemed to be doing all the heavy lifting. Eventually, when they get out of it and they have that moment where they have the awkward laugh from Mam and Mirla when Leona declared that their adventure was easy was quite amusing. She's like, oh, that wasn't so bad. And the other two are like, sure, whatever. And it's also, in this episode, it's great to see Baddock again. I love how he chews out the soldiers for being hostile towards Lon Baruch when they arrived. That was great and putting everybody in their place. And poor Pop, he's still struggling with getting his mysticite to glow. I'm glad that he visits his mentor, Matariv, though. I just wish, and you had kind of mentioned this in a previous review for the last episode, I wish he had told him specifically what his problem was instead of just beating around the bush. Like, just go, you know, come out with it. Like, I'm having this specific problem. But no, he's just like, no, I have this problem. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I'm just struggling. Like, come on, man. It's your mentor. Like, you could at least tell him.
Yeah, I mean, that's a way to artificially stretch out the drama, but what can you do?
Yeah.
So then in episode 64, the night before the battle, stuff happens. As the title indicates, this episode is all about preparations the night before the battle to free Crocodine and Hyunkel from their execution. Lon Baruch reveals that not only has he fixed Dai's and Hyunkel's weapons, he has also created new weapons for Crocodine, Pop, and Mom. Lady Amy openly declares her love for Hyunkel and takes his repaired weapon, vowing to give it to him in person. This surprises Mom, who had no idea. She realizes she might have feelings for Hyunkel too, and goes off to give Pop his new staff. When she tells Pop about her conflicting feelings for Hyunkel, Pop yells at her to focus on the battle instead, like a big dork. Chu gathers his Beast King commandos to give them numbered badges to help differentiate them from other monsters in the upcoming battle. Even a disguised Brokina, Chu and Mom's sensei, gets in on the action, looking for a badge as well. Lon Baruch decides to join the heroes too, pledging that he will fight with everyone against King Vern's forces. Dai finds Marilla preparing herbs for the battle to come, and she gives him a dream seed to help him sleep. The seed gives Dai a wonderful dream where he's reunited with his parents. In the morning, Leona gives Dai and friends a rousing speech to prepare everybody. The episode ends by showing Crocodine and Hyunkel hung up and ready for execution at the appointed place.
Oh no! So this is a fun episode showing how everyone prepares for the battle in their own way. Some prepare more successfully than others. I keep forgetting how much of an avid drinker Lon Baruch is. Ooh. If he's not forging a weapon, he usually has a drink in his hand. I bet he can drink most people under the table since he's been doing it for literally hundreds of years. Did you notice how the new weapons are wrapped in some kind of cloth when they're delivered?
Yeah.
And I guess that cloth must be super plentiful and ordinary because everyone kept ripping the weapons open like it was nothing. Once for dramatic effect was fine with Dai's weapon, but then Mam does the same thing with hers like it's Christmas morning or something. I love how that mage says that Hyunkel must be under a muddle spell if he rejected Lady Amy's advances. Yeah, A, he's absolutely right, and B, it's always great to see Dragon Quest spells used in the Dai lexicon this way. There are some great moments with Chu dealing with Crocodine's axe and his Beast King commandos. I love how Brokina not only wants to participate secretly, though not really secretly, but also wants to do so as a Beast King commando. And then we get to probably Pop's second worst moment in this series, arguably maybe his worst, just because it just came off so horribly bad. I would say the worst is maybe when he abandons Dai when Crocodine first appears, because that's you know, that's pretty bad. Now he's obviously under a tremendous amount of stress, but the way he snaps at Mam is almost unforgivable. Yeah. I remember really being taken aback the first time I saw this when I watched it subtitled. At least he realizes right away what he did was wrong, so that's good. But on the other hand, I think his apology later is pretty lame. I wouldn't say it was half-assed, but he needed to do a lot better than that. I think Mam let him off too easy on that one. That's just my personal opinion. Overall, good episode with some drama in it before the heroes mount their attack.
You know, Lon Baruch claims that the scabbard of Dai's sword has been improved, which will make the sword more powerful. That doesn't make much sense to me. Maybe they'll elaborate on it later, but it's like, can't we just say that the sword's more powerful now? Do we have to say something goofy? Poor Dai still can't read, so Leona has to read the instructions to the sword for him. Let's hope he becomes more literate before the series ends, because it's like, that's quite a handicap there. I guess that's why he needs a party, though.
You will be my faithful readers.
There you go. Poor Chu doesn't get a legendary weapon, I noticed, when everybody else is getting theirs. Instead, he receives a silly barbed nunchaku from Baruch. It's better than nothing, but nunchucks really need a handle that's free of spikes in order to be wielded effectively. So, yeah, it seems like kind of a mean joke. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he learns to use it.
It's definitely a joke, but poor Chu. Thankfully, he's got his Beast King commando, so he'll be fine, I think. Hopefully. Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe he can recruit a porcupine who's immune to the spikes.
And there you go.
Then he'll wield it. Yeah, we learn a little bit about Lon Baruch's motivation in this episode. Lon Baruch, of course, is a Darkling, and he's the weapon master and all that. He explains that Vern is a boring customer because he's too powerful. So when they ask him, you know, why are you helping us? And that's kind of a thin reason for supporting the humans. You know, everybody like gives him a little bit of a stare, I would say. But at least he's on their side. And then I'm glad that he actually decides to fight alongside them in the end. So, you know, maybe he's a guy of few words, but he is choosing to do the right thing. And that's what counts. Pop's abusive reaction towards Mom, which you mentioned earlier, really sucks. I didn't mind his apology too much. I thought at least he did apologize. That's progress for him, I would say, at least compared to the beginning. But on the other hand, it makes me a little worried. Like, if he's going to talk to her like that, is he really even good boyfriend material for anybody? I wonder.
That's a good point.
But finally, I love Dai's dream. He finally gets to meet his mother, which, of course, he had known her as a baby. But, like, you know, since he's been able to talk and all that, I don't believe he had ever met her. So that's really special all on its own. And then Bronn appears. You know, they're in a field of flowers. Bronn appears, and the flowers embers disappear around him as he approaches. And it's just a really memorable effect, you know?
I didn't even notice that. So that's a pretty cool moment. I'll have to go check that out.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nice little touch. I don't know if it means anything in particular. Maybe it just represents how Bronn was such a bad dude. But it's cool nonetheless. And yeah, the dream actually got me to tear up a little bit, something the show doesn't inspire very often. So it was a good emotional moment.
Aw, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah.
So we don't have any Dragon Quest specific merch to discuss this week, but I will mention that Dragon Quest Builders 1 recently released on Steam.
So it did. Yeah, it's always good to have more Dragon Quest games on more platforms. Last year, Builders 1 released on mobile with some quality of life upgrades that have been brought over to the Steam edition too.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. Maybe the Steam version will get some cool mods too. Ooh. or maybe some disturbing mods, as people tend to do. Hopefully not.
Aw.
But hey, let's take a moment to talk about the far future of this podcast. Far future, near future, far future?
I mean, think of the rate at which we record episodes. We're talking like 6 months off. I don't know. It's a ways off.
That's true. At the rate that we go, that's a good point. So the far future, into the far future of this podcast. Once we are done reviewing this current Die series, there are a few of the older Die movies to go through that we haven't watched yet. And then we have a lot of other titles we can review as well.
That's right. There's the Emblem of Roto movie. Is it Roto? Don't people usually say Lodo, or do they always say Roto?
It's Roto. There was the Game Boy Color game where they said Lodo, but that was actually a mistranslation. And you can hear all about that when we actually interview the translator in one of our Slime Time episodes.
Okay. Yes, I guess we can do that. My understanding is that like the L and R sounds are basically interchangeable, but yeah, maybe there's some specific reason it needs to be R.
You are correct. But in Japan, they decided to go with R. If you go out and you look for merchandise that's based off that character, they actually do spell it with the R.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's what we should go by then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's the Emblem of Roto movie, Dragon Quest Legend of the Hero Abel. Is that how you say that?
Abel, I think. Don't quote me on it, even though this is a recording, which then you'll be able to quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure it's Abel. We'll find out for sure when we watch it.
We're professionals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're professionals. We know what we're doing. Yeah, this is a show that actually aired in America for some of its episodes, not the entire thing. But of course, back then it was in America, and that was back when they couldn't do Dragon Quest, so they called it Dragon Warrior, the Legend of, I think, Abel. So we'll see when we start watching it.
Yeah, that's exciting. Then there's also Dragon Quest Monsters and more. I hope we all live long enough to cover it.
No promises.
That's all for this episode of Slime Time Tactfully Die. Whoa, thought we changed the name.
Oh, that was probably my error. Yeah, my bad.
That's all for this episode of All Trades something something something. If you want to prepare for the next episode, be sure to watch episodes 65, 66, 67, and maybe 68 of The Adventure of Die anime.
Yes, where you can find these episodes on Hulu dubbed, or you can go to Crunchyroll and find them subbed.
That's true.
And with this episode of All Trades DQ Media Abbey, we are a nonprofit podcast. We won't stretch your hard-earned gold when we can offer you quality content for free. But if you do have some extra gold that's just completely burning a hole in your wallet, pouch, bottomless bag, treasure chest, or searchable wall sack, or maybe even the Cave of Trials pot, Ooh. And you would like to donate anything to a website that's been supporting Dragon Quest fans for over 25 years, stop by the Dragon's Den by clicking the link in the show notes. There are several ways to support the Den, including the affiliate links that don't cost you anything extra when making other Dragon Quest purchases.
We even have a Slime Time t-shirt that was designed by our resident artist, Dwayne. See the link for it in the show notes.
As part of the Slime Time Extended Universe, or Stew, you can direct comments or questions for the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at DQ Slime Time.
And you can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/EastXTwitch. Come watch me play a variety of games every Saturday, kids.
Join in tons of Dragon Quest discussion at the Dragon's Den forums or Discord and the Dragon Questers Facebook group.
We'd like to thank everyone that made this podcast possible, including Pendy, Woodis, the Dragon's Den, and KFC, the official fried chicken restaurant of RoboCop.
I'd buy that for a dollar. Please like, subscribe, and write a review for the podcast.
We'll catch you later, everybody. Don't hate. Appreciate.
Time to zoom on out of here.
This is slime time. General Flazzard here. Beware my five-finger flares.